Yellowstone Revealed is a project by Mountain Time Arts from August 23rd through August 27th, 2022. We interviewed people involved with the project in April and May of 2022 before the Yellowstone River flooded in June 2022. Original dates and locations in the interviews have now changed. The dates, times, and locations of Yellowstone Revealed are Lighted Teepees, Resiliency of the People by Pretty Shield Foundation and Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council is from August 23rd through the 27th, visible and lighted nightly by the Roosevelt Arch in Gardner, Montana. The All Nations Teepee Village by Shane Doyle is August 23rd through the 27th, 9 to 5 p.m., Madison Junction. Performances are nightly from August 23rd through the 25th at 8 p.m. The site features 12 teepee lodges and 15 teepee rings to represent the 27 affiliated tribal nations of the Yellowstone area. Revisiting the Stories, Indigenous Environmental Stewardship by Dean Nikolai and Tim Ryan is August 23rd through the 27th, 9 to 3 each day at Sheep Eaters Cliff, Obsidian Cliff, and Storm Point. It's a series of interpretive hikes, demonstrations, and storytelling. And Rematriate by Patty Baldes, August 24th and 25th, sunset at the Roosevelt Arch in Gardner, Montana, showcasing 7 moving buffalo sculptures made of willow branches brought to life by 14 dancers and 10 drummers. KGVM was proud to interview Francesca Pine Rodriguez, Executive Director of Mountain Time Arts, on May 26th, 2022, at the KGVM Studios in Bozeman. Hello, KGVM listeners. I'm JP Pomnikowski here with Francesca Pine Rodriguez of Mountain Time Arts. Francesca, thank you for being here today.
Feels good to be here.
You have an exciting project coming up, and Mountain Time Arts also has a history of doing really inventive and interactive art pieces. So will you please introduce yourself and introduce our listeners to Mountain Time Arts first?
Good. Yes. Firstly, Nisoyot Nasheve. My name is Twani Stans, and my English name is Francesca Pine Rodriguez, and I am Crow in Northern Cheyenne from southeastern Montana, and I am the executive director for Mountain Time Arts.
That's great. So how long has Mountain Time Arts existed? Where are you based? What kind of projects does Mountain Time Arts do?
So we are based out of Bozeman, and we have been in existence for about 7 years, since 2015 is when things got started. And even when the pandemic hit, we still had really excellent programming to our advantage, that we were able to do things outside, socially distanced, mask friendly, also mask not friendly. For those who hate masks, you were able to enjoy it.
Well, you had a particularly stunning display in the winter of 2021, or was that just this past winter, 2022, with the lighted lodges up on Bozeman Hill. Can you kind of describe
that? This past winter, okay. In October 2021. And that was called Lighting of the Teepees, Illuminating Indigenous Peoples Day. And that was to raise awareness for Indigenous Peoples Day on many levels.
That was really a sight to see. If anyone was in the Bozeman area or saw the postings on social media, it was just lovely, especially some of those shots with the lighted teepees against the winter sky, which reflected the light, and the snow, which reflected the light. Oh, that was really inventive and really beautiful. I think a lot of people enjoyed it and saw it. A lot more people saw it than you might have expected.
Definitely had a bigger audience than anticipated, which is really good. And I have to acknowledge the Pretty Shield Foundation and the Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council, who own the teepees, put them up. It's their idea. We simply commissioned them to be in Bozeman on Pete's Hill at that time. And It was just a wonderful 10 days, exhausting for those of us who had to work those 10 days, but so worth it to see the community come together. We had school children coming for field trips and just all kinds of explorers in the day and night.
It's pretty great. Well, your next project is a collaboration with Yellowstone National Park called Yellowstone Revealed. Please tell us something about Yellowstone Revealed and we'll get into the details.
Sure. So Yellowstone Revealed is a historic opportunity for Indigenous peoples, Mountaintime Arts, and Yellowstone National Park to get together and really think about what is the Indigenous presence in the park. And when we had to ask that question of park officials, they had to admit that there was a very limited presence and really concentrated on the historic aspects, if there was presence. And so we would like to change that and really think about and elevate the Indigenous presence in the park. We've been here all along. However, when the park was actually made a park 150 years ago, we actually had to exit the area and were not welcomed back into the park. And so there hadn't even officially been a teepee raised in the park in these past 150 years until we raised one last summer in June 2021.
You know, there's, I think, a grave tendency to look at this from one ethnicity's perspective and the establishment of the world's first national park. But it's not as though there weren't people and wildlife and plants and happenings and geologic events and everything else in that area for time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Is there an Indigenous name for the area that we now know as Yellowstone National Park?
There definitely is, and there are many, actually, from the different tribal peoples that have used it. And so I don't feel comfortable sharing names because I don't want to just simply highlight the Crow people or the Cheyenne people. But speaking of names, you know, there has been some campaigning to change a few names of some places in the park. And so in that context, that is also historic in that all of these nations have agreed on a few names that would be representative of all of the peoples and really the land itself.
That's great. I love that idea. We have a tendency to offer up topographic names for a moment in time or for whoever might be, you know, Secretary of the Interior at the time, or Secretary of State, or whatever it is. Gallatin River wasn't always Gallatin River. Mm-hmm. Yellowstone River wasn't always Yellowstone River. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So in the context of Yellowstone Revealed and Yellowstone National Park's 150th anniversary, give us some descriptions about what this next year's worth of Yellowstone Revealed will offer.
Sure. So our official description is that Mountaintime Arts is partnering with Yellowstone National Park, Indigenous artists and scholars, the City of Gardner, along with non-governmental agencies to create temporary, non-invasive art installations designed to demonstrate the historic and continued presence of Indigenous people in the Yellowstone region. The multidisciplinary art projects will provide a platform and long overdue opportunity to envision and co-create the future of Yellowstone National Park. And we would really like to see these activities strengthen the entire nation's cultural infrastructure and begin a new era of relationship with the park systems and tribal nations and connect people generally to the land and the environment of Yellowstone National Park. So with that, the way we are doing that is with a few installations that are meant to be symbolic, immersive, interactive, and you will come away from these with something. And so would you like me to describe some of the projects?
Please do, yeah. We'd be very interested to hear about that.
Yeah. So firstly, we're having an All Nations Teepee Village. The lead artist on that is Shane Doyle. And that will be, has an three elements to it, past, present, and future. So the Teepee Village is representative of lodges from the past of how it might have looked when there were teepee communities in Yellowstone. And that Teepee Village is meant to be the immersive, interactive, and tactile experience for the general visitor. So you can go in, and then during the event days, there will be tribal partners who will be there to talk about the history, the stories, the connections of their respective tribe to Yellowstone. And so there will be opportunities for all of these conversations, stories to be heard at that village. And then the presence piece. So today there will be a contemporary Native American encampment, of which myself and all of our partners will be camping, although access to that is only limited to those who are directly involved with Yellowstone Revealed. It is viewable by the general visitors and general public. So that shows, you know, you'll see my teepee with my SUV parked outside of it, maybe a barbecue grill. I just don't want the visitors to only think about us in the past, but also now thriving, working in the present. And then the future piece is the illuminated teepees that the community is familiar with on Pete's Hill. And there will be 7 illuminated teepees up on the ridge that are viewable from the teepee village. And for me, they really represent the 7 generations that will come after us. And they will shine brightly, like the bright future that I hope we can co-create together moving forward.
That is amazing. So that installation will be right outside Gardner, right near the
Roosevelt
the arch, right?
Arch.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when will the installations be
August,
open and active?
Yeah, August 23rd through August 27th is our anticipated activity dates. And I only described one project, by the way. and so that was the Teepee Village. And I would like to also describe 2 other projects that will be available for people to participate. So one is really interpretive hikes from an Indigenous perspective. That is called Revisiting the Stories, Indigenous Environmental Stewardship, and that is by Dean Nikolai and Tim Ryan. And their specialty is really archaeology and Indigenous history in the park. And so for 5 days from August 23rd through August 27th, we will have guided hikes each day that will be by different tribal representatives each time. And so there will be opportunity to hear different stories. And those stories are not going to be allowed to be recorded. And so you have to be fully present in the moment and really connecting with those stories and the land and the landscape. So you get the full experience. And if you want to repeat those stories after you leave, that is your choice, the best you can. But, you know, I hope people always remember their experience being told those stories on the land.
Right. And that's the tradition of an oral history,
mm-hmm.
right? For the longest time, we learned the stories of our families and our ancestors and all the rest and heard them so frequently we felt we could repeat them verbatim, but they weren't recorded. That's kind of a new phenomena, which is it also has its value, but I really love that this would be in a real-time, in-person oral history. That's great.
Yes, definitely. You'll get the experience. And we got to know the stories by just simply hearing them over and over again, not by a recording or documenting them or writing them down. But that is going to be super experience.
Where will the hikes go from, or, you know, where is that event centered?
There will be at various sites in Yellowstone. The locations have not been shared yet, as they will be a ticketed event because they will have limited audience. And so Mountain Time Arts will share that link at some point soon for people to sign up. I have a feeling that those spots will go pretty quickly.
I think you're right.
And of course, it is all free and open to the public. And I can't not mention the Dancing Buffalo. The project is called Rematriate by Patty Baldez. And that will be on August 24th and 25th. Each evening at dusk near the Roosevelt Arch, you can witness an artwork that will showcase 25 moving buffalo sculptures. And so there will be some dance and drummers that will bring these buffalo to life. And at the end of the performance, it will be revealed that they are the indigenous peoples. And so it's like, we've been here all along, even if you have not seen us.
Right. Yellowstone revealed. Yeah.
So, you know, I think for those who plan to visit Yellowstone National Park this August are going to be able to experience projects that provide an opportunity for Indigenous voices and visions to co-create a renewed view of the park. And engage those visitors with a corrected and enhanced narrative of the landscape we now know as Yellowstone National Park.
That is lovely. I'm really interested in the impetus for this project. Was it the National Park's 150th anniversary that brought this on, or is that coincidental? Is it just serendipitous that this happens where, you know, there's also a national park anniversary? Has this been in the works since the Lighted Lodges? How did it come about?
Well, I think the catalyst really started with the quote-unquote celebration of the 150th anniversary, because when you speak with Indigenous folks, it's not a celebration for us. And so we want to celebrate the fact that we are still here, despite everything that has happened.
Right.
And I think the 150th anniversary just kind of started to make people think about what is really being celebrated, what kind of progress has been made or not made. And the superintendent of the parks, Cam Shawley, and also Christina White have been integral in this partnership. And just the fact that they're so open to learning, to our presence, and to educating the public on the real history of Yellowstone National Park, you know, has been just tremendous in terms of moving forward and getting these stories and histories told, you know. And we are not revising history here. We are simply revealing it.
Yes. Well, I'm interested, you know, a lot of people visit Yellowstone first for the landscape and the animals. But once in the park or around the park, near the park, there's an opportunity to educate them. And we educate a lot of visitors about a lot of things, usually in the context and the structure of the national park system. So I am particularly delighted that this is revealing to visitors and others, whoever might visit the park during that time, that before that designation, well, before and during and into the future, along with a national park designation, this land, this area, these peoples, the animal life, the flora and fauna this is a long history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so special. And, you know, even spilling over to the Bozeman community where we have all this influx of new people who are actually moving here permanently, Mountain Time Arts will continue to strive to show those people the Bozeman, Montana, and Indigenous way of life so that people can see the richness here, the history, the geography, the biodiversity, everything that they moved here for that they didn't know they moved here for.
Right.
And you know, those people have an impact on this environment. And I think once you get to know your environment and feel connected to it, you feel respectful of it.
Right.
And when you start to feel respectful of something, you can even start to feel protective of it, which is what we're really aiming for.
Yes. Do you think there might be future events? Have you, I realize that this next couple of months and next year, the year's worth of the anniversary of Yellowstone is a target.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other events in the works for, you know, kind of area projects or...
My answer to that is heck yes.
Okay, good.
There are definitely things in the works. Another exciting aspect of Mountain Time Arts is that we've actually have met with the city of Bozeman and Indigenous Peoples Day Montana. Currently, Bozeman has a proclamation for Indigenous Peoples Day. And so that's what was celebrated and read in October 2021 at the event on Pete's Hill. But now... the city of Bozeman is actually making and going to pass, if they haven't already, an ordinance to make Indigenous Peoples Day completely replace Columbus Day.
Great.
And also create a new holiday where workers will still have the day off. They'll still get their day off after Thanksgiving. And so when they told us, you know, that was the solution, was to create another holiday, nobody argued. And so that is just really amazing for the city of Bozeman and the commissioners to take that on. And so the city of Bozeman and Mountain Time Arts will be partnering, as long as I'm executive director of Mountain Time Arts, to be partnering, doing Indigenous Peoples Day festivities every year.
That's amazing.
So mark your calendars for Indigenous Peoples Day 2022, and we will be having something spectacular. It might not be the lighted teepees. We've been hearing a lot of feedback that people do want them back. And so we may do that. We might not do that. We're still exploring our options, just because there's so much out there that can be shared with this community, that we don't want to be a one-trick pony that does, you know, one thing every year. Although successful, we want to keep it fresh and new every time.
Yeah, that's great. Is there an opportunity, do you think, around the county or even around the region, to kind of fold in some of the education and art opportunities with what already exists? I'm thinking like the Three Forks, the Headwaters, the Buffalo Jump there, places down the canyon, something like that?
Definitely, we are exploring all of our options. Our projects also are based on grants and fundraising and, you know, all of that. And I want to say that we are still actively fundraising for Yellowstone Revealed and, you know, need all the donations we can get to pull off the spectacular programming we envision. But moving forward, you know, there are all kinds of things to potentially explore. One of them is right outside your door, Bozeman Creek.
Yes.
It's been so neglected. It could really be a crown jewel of Bozeman, if paid attention to. It runs right under Main Street, right through the bars and yeah. Nova Cafe. And people don't know that what's right beneath their feet. And so we want to firstly, you know, make people aware that it's there, and then also celebrate it, because, you know, this is our creek, our water, our lifeblood running right under our feet. Mm. And so we've been wanting to do things with Bozeman Creek. And of course, like you said, there's Headwaters, there's the Buffalo Jump. But as we're doing this thing with Yellowstone National Park, it's actually started other conversations. What about Glacier?
Right.
What about Teton? What about Yosemite? You know, and so another thing that Mountain Time Arts is doing is we are making a documentary that's documenting this process of how we're pulling off Yellowstone Revealed and partnering with the cities of Gardner, so border towns, and then the national parks, and then tribal peoples. You know, this all has never been done before. And I think, you know, I just had a feeling this needs to be documented. And then as we've gotten further and further into the process itself has become super important.
Yeah.
And fragile, you know, with the relationships and, well, the broken relationships between Indigenous folks and the governmental agencies, aka the park systems. And so we've been sensitively navigating these relationships. And I think when we can come together and really, you know, do something like this that's good for everyone, it might set a precedent. To other parks and to other tribal communities. And when they say, hey, how did you do it? We will just have a documentary to give them and say, here you go.
That's amazing. I love that people wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel to try and replicate at least the effort, not certainly not the same experience or art. I mean, that will be really location and time specific, but I was going to ask if you had had, you've mentioned Superintendent Shally, Cam Shally of Yellowstone National Park, but I'm wondering if the nation's first Native American Secretary of the Interior, Deb Holland, might help you with the National Park Service a bit.
I am definitely exploring that. We've been inviting her to our events, and also the first Native American director of the parks, Chuck Sams.
That's right. That's right.
Is also a really important player in all of this. And so it just feels right, the right time to do this. And the right people are in place, and the right people are stepping up. And so it feels really good right now. And that's why I say, like, this is a real opportunity, a real long overdue opportunity for Indigenous voices to co-create that future of national parks.
I think that's really wonderful. I would personally love to see that after this very special event and this first launch into revealing what Yellowstone has and has been and can be. Has there been any talk about changing or adding to the visitor center or, for instance, you know, the Old Faithful Education Center, something like that, some of the Indigenous perspectives there?
Yeah. So Yellowstone National Park is focusing efforts on a new tribal heritage center, and which will be the sustaining piece in all of this. And they're working with incredible Indigenous consultants, one of whom is Ren Freeman, and just smart, smart people who are giving good advice. So we're really optimistic and hopeful that that Tribal Heritage Center will grow and really celebrate the tribal heritage and not be so much about the center,
right.
But be more about elevating that heritage piece.
Right.
And they're starting to do it. And so obviously have been inspired and have been making more connections and learning how to navigate relationships better, the help of us. And so it's just been a really interesting, powerful experience so far.
Thank you so much for doing it. I know a lot of us are really looking forward to this, and partly because of the event itself and a year's worth in Yellowstone National Park, but also for what it could mean going forward. It's great.
Yeah, all of that is just, we're so honored to be in the position that we are in, and so excited too at the same time for everyone, for the community. It's a lot of work, but it's going to be so worth it.
Thank you so much, Francesca, for sitting down with us today. And thank you, especially Mountain Time Arts. I love the inventive, inclusive, immersive nature of everything you do. And we're just so honored that you're based right here in Bozeman. So,
oh, yeah, with much, much more to come.
Yes. So KGVM listeners, stay tuned and please support Mountain Time Arts. Visit Yellowstone National Park and Yellowstone Revealed this August and all through next year, right?
Yes. And also our website, mountaintimearts.org.
Okay. Thank you so much, Francesca. It has been delightful talking to you, and we'll do our level best to get this out to our listeners and ask them to participate in Yellowstone Revealed.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Thanks. KGVM was proud to interview Francesca Pine Rodriguez, Executive Director of Mountain Time Arts, on May 26, 2022, at the KGVM Studios in Bozeman. KGVM interviewed Wren Freeman, an anthropologist at the University of Montana in Missoula. Ms. Freeman is a member of the Eastern Shoshone Tribe on the Wind River Indian Reservation. We interviewed Ms. Freeman April 28, 2022, at the Yellowstone Forever Building in Gardner, Montana, the northern gateway to Yellowstone National Park. I'm J.P. Pomnikowski with KGVM, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. Pleased to be here today with Wren Freeman to hear about an art installation in Yellowstone National Park called Yellowstone Revealed. Wren, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so delighted to hear from you about the inspiration and about the installation itself. So please just describe, you know, how the idea came about, who inspired the idea, and then how it will be manifested.
Okay. Wow, this has been, I'd say, a pretty profound journey for those of us involved, you know, with this project. And it is an event that has four projects in it. So in terms of art installations, we really are a community. And really, I'd say a little over a year ago, a friend of our community, J.B. Askew, heard about an idea from Shane Doyle, and it was the idea of a teepee village in Yellowstone Park. And Yellowstone, as you know, is a 150th year. And then as we look at the relationships with the various Native peoples, indigenous peoples in the area, and those who have an association, a history with this landscape. The idea of the teepee village, really, Shane's vision is being here. And I was invited to last June, so June 21st, a gathering, several of us, Native peoples from various tribes who are associated, and I am Eastern Shoshone from the Wind River in Wyoming. And we heard about this idea, and Mountain Time Arts representatives were there and said, hey, we're thinking about this. And it really is about a voice through art. And what is the message? So those of us present, we were listening. And the idea of let's restore the presence of the Native peoples into Yellowstone Park. And I am an indigenous anthropologist. And I am a professor of Native American Studies and Anthropology courses at the University of Montana. My doctoral work is more on the science side. I look at landscapes and surveys, tribal landscapes, and the impacts that remote sensing technologies has on how we as Native peoples perceive our landscape and our relationship. I'm also the director of the Indigenous Research Center at Salish Kootenai College. So as I was listening to everyone last June, you know, my mind, my Shoshone worldview, I kept thinking to myself, you know, my people, this is our homelands. Yeah. I as a Shoshone person. And I thought, what is this restore? No. You know, and I was kind of fidgety, and I was like, you know what? Why don't we reveal our continuous presence? I said, you know, history tells the story of our removal. And even legally, our removal in the greater Yellowstone region. And I said, but you know what? We never left. Our relationship with this land was not severed. And there are so many evidences of that. But we have to be careful in how we describe that for various reasons, political reasons. But the essence, so of the concept that I proposed, was looking at land as creating us. I, as an anthropologist, I know culture is socially constructed. How has land created us? And we belong to this land in that way. Why don't we reveal that? What are our stories? Let's revisit our own stories. And so I pitched it, and on the last day I was approached, and they says, you know what? Let's call this event Yellowstone Revealed. Can we do that, Ren? And I was like, wow, yeah.
I love that. You know, words matter. Words matter. So it's not a restoration. It is a reveal and an education. And I love the way we celebrate Yellowstone for everything that it embraces. But there are also some aspects that people don't know very well. And I really love revealing that aspect of Yellowstone. I think that's lovely.
It's intriguing to we Native people who are of this land, whether it's a brief association. It's all about, there's a term we use in anthropology, the mnemonic. What inspires a memory or helps us to consider our relationship? And in this way, it is about what is the land saying to us? What did it say? You know, what do we remember? And, you know, that is such a, on one hand, basic way that we as human beings kind of identify. How do we relate to this or that? And in this sense, here's this landscape, this phenomenal place that the world wants to know. They want to be here. They want to walk here. And then we have my people and other tribal peoples. We come from a lineage, and we have these stories where we're like, you know, there was a time that this landscape helped create so much of who I say I am as a Shoshone woman. Do I remember that? Can I remember that? You know, and so it's looking at a landscape. It's looking at landmarks, the water, what do I know about that? So it's about the stories of plants. Well, that's a food source. And some are very well known. We have obsidian. We have the ram's, you know, horns. We have a lot of different sources. But even more than that, let's go deeper. Let's get into the intimate relationship. And I think that's what people come to this landscape to maybe be inspired by, even to experience. And what would they leave with? I think that's the whole idea of Yellowstone Revealed as an event, is this is our story. Our stories, what do they inspire in you when you leave this area to return to your place, your home? What will you take with you? Have you been inspired by this landscape? You know, and so it is about what we call relationality and how land is conducive of that.
You spoke about four sites involved with Yellowstone Revealed. Can you describe those and what they might be trying to communicate or trying to invite people to maybe, you know, discover about themselves or the way they interpret this landscape?
Sure. And this is a work in progress. We have three definite projects, and these are three separate individuals who are leaders. Shane Doyle, he is working with the Tipi Village project, and the concept is, to use the term, a juxtaposition. As an anthropologist, I work with a concept called time-space continuum, that at any moment we embody past, present, future. And so the idea, and even to correct perceptions, even some of what's written, Native people and their relationship with teepees, so what we know and those generalities, well, it's beyond that, because let's contemporize that. And that's a part of the project. We will have a private encampment. And so right here by the arch, the northern entrance to the park, will be a village. So we are working with 27 tribes, nations, and their association, their stories. And so the idea with that is, here are 27 teepees, and what is the story they tell through the voices of the tribal nations they represent? And there are other components, and that is still developing. But then we have an encampment. So anyone who has been to, such as Crow Fair, when we say encampment, it is a way of being. Some of us tribal people, we camp that way still, and we stay in teepees. It isn't something in the past, nor is it the presumption we still live in teepees. You know, and so it is about what is the reality. And so the idea of, here's a teepee village that represents past, but you will also see this encampment where we tribal Native people are in our SUVs parked next to our teepee going about our life, you know, and our life ways.
Right.
The public is not invited inside the encampment. That's ours. But you can see it. And so if you're over at the teepee village, which is public, and then you're invited, come and see here, what do you see? How do you make those connections to past, present, and even future? So that's part of that concept. Then the next is a revisiting of stories. And that is Dean Nikolai, who is Salish. He's an archaeologist from the Salish Kootenai community. And his project is really about the stories of landscape. And so when he's working with several other people also, each of them voicing their relationship. And one person in particular is Tim Ryan, also at the Salish Kootenai College. And fishing. What is the relationship with water? What is it? It isn't just about utilization or subsistence. And so, you know, that whole project is about, let's talk about our relationship with plants, with let's walk along. And last October, we had another retreat of the Yellowstone Revealed group. And I walked through, kind of workshopped the idea with these folks, the project leaders and various people. I said, let the land talk to you. What is it saying to you? Let's center land. Listen to it. And that's very philosophical, But how do we make that practical? Now, I'm an applied anthropologist, so it's about the doing. And so I was a little bratty on that day, the field trip, because it was cold. It was October. Going to Storm Point, it's a mile in, a mile out. Some folks were like, no. I said, we're on this hike, people. This is what we're here for. And it was so fun. It really was. But, you know, it made the point, because those who did make that trek, they felt what I meant. Mm-hmm. We came to this forested area along the trail, and we stopped. The wind at the higher level was moving. We couldn't feel it on the ground. Trees were swaying. They were talking, whispering to each other. And when we all stopped, it was almost like they were like, oh, hey, look, there's people over there. And then you heard this different. It was so amazing. But we were so silent. And I mean, it was very high. Our heads were completely like, whoa, look up there. And that was just one instance that really expressed when I said, what is the land saying to you? And each of us excitedly, you know, after our trek and many other experiences along that, afterwards, it was so amazing because we had our own story. We had an individual experience, but we were all at the same time in the same space, but it meant something different. So it's about making meaning, and that's what Yellowstone Revealed is all about. Let us tell you our story from our view, our experiences that we carry, we embody from our past, our ancestors, and then what does it look like today? So revisiting the stories is important because it connects to you. It's inviting you. Okay, here's us. Now, what about you? What are you going to go home and remember, and it becomes your story?
And it's how someone relates their visit. I love that. You know, I think one of the most valuable things that people get from a visit to Yellowstone is that, sure, it's a target vacation, and they want to come and see bison and elk and wolves. We understand that. But, you know, there's really something to be said at breaking your routine and allowing yourself to stop and listen to the trees or the water or to sleep outside, maybe for the first time ever for some visitors, you know?
The sky. It was amazing. In last October, the purpose was to take a look at various sites through the park. So it was a big road trip. And looking at what may be appropriate. And a part of my role is to pay attention to the cultural impacts. So looking at what has been surveyed, you know, on the lands, what can receive people in these ways? And so it's respecting a particular landscape and environment. And so that still is a part of what we're doing. It's a due diligence. And so that very much is a part of what I'm responsible for, so working with the projects. And again, here at the Arch area, our third project, it, you know, we can't help. Whenever we work with and we, let's say, engage indigenous peoples and communities, we are obligated, I feel, to engage social and environmental justice. And that's an activism platform. And it is a part of what this is about. And our project, Rematriation, Patty Baldez, is a buffalo restoration. Her husband, Jason Baldez, is well known as Restoring Buffalo, as he's Eastern Shoshone. I've worked with him, and that is his work. And Patty been influenced, and it is a part of her world and work. So her project, and this is so exciting, willows are woven in the shape of a frame that is buffalo. And so her project is subtitled Dancing Buffalo. Oh, and awesome. Buffalo on the landscape as representing relationship, but also restoration. You know, because of the story we're engaging right now about the connection between the history, even the global history of people's being removed and then coming home, a return. And so her project really is about, we are here and there is bison like all over the park, as they should be. But what are they dancing? You know, in our native culture, we dance. And it isn't performative in that sense. We dance for other people, with other people. It is a spiritual, even in the most social powwow sense, we dance for. And so the Dancing Buffalo is for the message of return, of restoring. And then you can add, restore what? Restore for who? Right. Why? So that's a very exciting concept and message. And that is one of the projects. The other is about a ethnographic landscape. Jared Wakani Comanche, he and I have known each other for a long time from the University of Oklahoma, and that's where I got my MA. And he is a video anthropologist, archaeologist. He's worked with the Forest Service, Park Service. So he is a co-leader on one of our projects. And his, we're still developing, it's the newest, and it may evolve into even something a bit different in terms of it being a project, or maybe it's a larger study. But the whole idea is what I started with here, sharing with you, is writing a letter to the land saying, you inspired me. Maybe I was 5 years old when I came here for the first time, and I remember that landmark. Here I am again, and you still inspire me. You know, and so it's that very intimate, very personal. And when we say letter writing, it could be physically, here's a piece of paper and I'm writing, or it could be a body movement if we kind of broaden our thinking, is how do I express myself with maybe movement in the art form? And that is a letter. It is a message, and I say thank you, land. So that is another, and that is, again, our newest and still developing. But again, that is so, it centers land. And that is the essence of Yellowstone Revealed, is centering land, environment. How is it guiding your vision? How is it being evidenced in the activities? And that really is the scope.
That is, it's lovely on so many levels. I think it's going to reach people in so many different ways. What's the timeline for Yellowstone Revealed and each installation and the encampment and that kind of thing?
And again, some of this is still developing, but on the MTA website, and a shout out to Francesca Pine Rodriguez, who is the executive director of MTA, her vision guiding this. And she has a newsletter that's being put out, so you'll find much of this information on the website. But we are working with a timeline of, really, there's that week in August that is the Park Service kind of, here we are, 150th, and that is roughly the 18th through the 22nd of August. So our projects will culminate around Earlier that month, the Tipi Village will be installed. And then the various other projects, some as Patty's will be related to in the same area as the Tipi Village, the others will be at other sites. And we are identifying those other sites now. We just had meetings with several of the cultural office and various, you know, tech people saying, is this a site that is okay? So that's where we are. We do have a partner, Bill Snell, who has the illuminated teepees and a message. And MTA was involved in a project earlier with those in Bozeman. Well, he's been invited right here at the Arch. If you can envision, you'll see the teepee village. You'll see our encampment. And then across from the north entrance gate on a ridge there, you'll see illuminated teepees. And the whole messaging, you know, is to me, that's why I use the word profound, is it's going to be exciting, you know, to see the responses, hear what people say about their experience. And I have to give a kind of a partner shout out to Yellowstone National Park for their vision of creating. First phase is the Yellowstone Tribal Heritage Center. And that, again, it is just been envisioned, and we will have down by Old Faithful in the Haynes Photo Gallery, that shop, a space for artists who have been invited. But the story is, it's all woven. These are somewhat separate projects, but a lot of the same people are working on them all. But the message is still the same. We're still here. Right. As Native people, this is a landscape we know intimately. And in our way, in culturally sensitive ways, in appropriate ways from our worldview, we want to share that with you.
That is extraordinary. Thank you so much. For your involvement, for the planning, and especially trying to reach others through this medium. I think it's really beautiful.
Well, I just have to say thank you to Cam Shawley, to Christina White, Amanda Haggerty, Beth Taylor, so many people, Dan Bailey. I mean, the list is growing of our partners, our allies. My goodness, today was a banner day, as I said, you know. And that will be shared where we go next. It's just amazing. I just have to say I'm so hopeful. I'm so happy. The season is here where we hear these invites. And we are bringing in, there was decisions made today to invite. So I've mentioned the 27 tribes. Now that is a list of associated tribes identified that work with the park already in various ways, have worked over the years, and it is the place where we're starting to make invites. And, you know, appropriately, do you feel you want to be involved in some way right now or in the future? But it really is about broadening the circle, being inclusive. I just have to, you know, I have to say it is an honor working with Cam and Christina and, you know, those folks who, what is the cliche, wear their hearts on their sleeve because they're like, yeah, let's do this. It is the right thing to do. And I think that's why I'm excited.
Such, you know, a wonderful aspect that just really has not, you know, had its due in a place that's already celebrated for so many other reasons. You know, it's a bit remarkable that the indigenous fabric of this place hasn't been celebrated more. So I love that this is, and it sounds as though this is the first step to a continuum. And, you know, and I shouldn't say that. The continuum has remained, as you said. You know, we just need to reach into it a bit, or back into it, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that it's appropriate. We must acknowledge there has been good work done over the years, not to the degree that we, I think all of us, we feel that it should have been, but you know, we are here today.
We make
this
progress.
There is a sort of, let's pick up where the good is and move forward. And yet, you know, we acknowledge, and to use the word, we engage healing where it's needed. And sometimes we don't even realize what that even means or where that needs to be, but we'll figure it out. And the thing is we learn together. That's the difference that I think what we're embarking on right now is, it isn't someone handing a script to Native people and saying, I had this idea and I'd like you to be part of it, so come on. But it's about saying, you know, I was thinking, and I'd like to know what you think, and together we can create this. And a little choked up here. That, to me, is novel. And to use someone who inspired me today, it is revolutionary, because we're not planning just for, here's this event.
Right.
It is about, here is this event that we want to continue and evolve for generations and generations. That is what's different.
I think that is really a great point in history of Yellowstone and the Yellowstone area. So 150 years ago, the creation of the world's first national park that celebrated this landscape. But that is just one more designation for what is a remarkable place. You know, that, I mean, what had been home to people, to animals, to flora and fauna and the winds and the waters for generations. Its designation now, I think, has made it more accessible to people who, the more urban environment, the more, I think, removed we are socially. We're really good at kind of self-isolating. And I love what you said about how Yellowstone and the Yellowstone area and the people who've made this place their home, for whom this place is imprinted and informs their identity, can move forward. That's really beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. And that really is the vision of, you know, this whole community that we're creating, moving along this path, this journey together, and learning and relearning so much. You know, it's always been here. The animals, and I say this kind of broadly, the landscape is still here. It always has been.
Right.
You know, it's just understanding what has changed, you know, and I guess in that sense, it is a return on so many levels to, wow, that was the relationship then. What has happened, and who are we to each other now? What could we be?
That's a big question.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that ultimately that'll carry us, you know, continuously asking that question and finding answers as we, again, learn together. Because it is that cliche, we don't know what we don't know. And to me, that's exciting. That yes. Venturing into that unknown is really, I think, the foundation of this work, is having that courage, you know, and taking the risks.
Yeah.
And let's see where this goes.
Oh, it's remarkable. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people will be keenly interested in this, especially as it makes its debut. But then as a future narrative, I love that. You know, people come to Yellowstone and the Yellowstone area with some preconceived notions. And I love that they are educated in different ways in themselves, what they are surprised that they enjoy, what they didn't know about the place, what they thought they would see and maybe don't, or learn something new. It's really remarkable, and I'm looking forward to it. I think people who live near and far will find benefit in this. I think it's a great endeavor. So thank you for your involvement, and for everyone you named, we thank them too. KGVM interviewed Wren Freeman, an anthropologist at the University of Montana in Missoula. Ms. Freeman is a member of the Eastern Shoshone Tribe on the Wind River Indian Reservation. We interviewed Ms. Freeman April 28, 2022, at the Yellowstone Forever Building in Gardner, Montana, the northern gateway to Yellowstone National Park. The dates, times, and locations of Yellowstone Revealed are Lighted Teepees, Resiliency of the People by Pretty Shield Foundation and Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council is from August 23rd through the 27th, visible and lighted nightly by the Roosevelt Arch in Gardner, Montana. The All Nations Teepee Village by Shane Doyle is August 23rd through the 27th, 9 to 5 p.m., Madison Junction. Performances are nightly from August 23rd through the 25th at 8 p.m. The site features 12 teepee lodges and 15 teepee rings to represent the 27 affiliated tribal nations of the Yellowstone area. Revisiting the Stories, Indigenous Environmental Stewardship by Dean Nikolai and Tim Ryan is August 23rd through the 27th, 9 to 3 each day at Sheep Eater's Cliff, Obsidian Cliff, and Storm Point. It's a series of interpretive hikes, demonstrations, and storytelling. And Rematriate by Patty Baldes, August 24th and 25th, sunset at the Roosevelt Arch in Gardner, Montana, showcasing 7 moving buffalo sculptures made of willow branches brought to life by 14 dancers and 10 drummers.